This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The topic for today is trials and challenges following repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is a very important topic. Why? Because many people, when they turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and they repent from their old habits and their old ways and their life of whether it's disbelief or corruption or transgression, whatever it is, and they come into Islam, people think that now that they have repented and turned to Allah, life is going to be beautiful, life is going to be calamity-free, life is going to be pain-free because I turned to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is unfortunately not real. And this is not the case. But most definitely, the one who turns to Allah Azza wa Jal will have a life of peace and tranquility. No doubt, because peace and tranquility is found in your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. But to believe that life will be calamity-free, pain-free, struggle-free, stress-free, this is not real. And as a result, the shaitan comes from this door to bring the people back into their old ways and into old habits. So now we need to understand, it is a fact that trials and challenges continue to come upon a person, even if he has repented and turned to Allah Azza wa Jal. And I want to give you a hadith that proved this matter. We'll give certain hadith and certain narrations from the Quran that prove that trials and challenges may continue upon a person even though he has repented and turned to Allah Azza wa Jal. Listen to this hadith of Uthman ibn Abi al-Aas radiyallahu anhu. He narrates his own story. He says, يعني شكى إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وجعا يجده في جسده منذ أسلم. Uthman ibn Abi al-Aas, he said that I complained to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم of a pain and sickness and illness in my body, and I only experienced it after I had accepted Islam. So Uthman ibn Abi al-Aas was a disbeliever. Then he accepted Islam. Soon after, right after he accepted Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal tested him with a severe sickness in his body. In another narration, he says, أتيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبي وجع قد كاد يهلكني. He said, I came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and I was in excruciating intense pain. This type of pain almost ended my life. This is how intense the pain was upon him. And when did he get this pain? He got it right after he had accepted Islam. So the first point is already proven. What we're learning from this hadith is that challenges and trials in a person's health or wealth or faith or whatever it is could happen even after your repentance and even after you have turned to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this doesn't mean that Allah Azza wa Jal hates you or He has rejected your Islam or rejected your tawbah. This is Allah Azza wa Jal testing your honesty and sincerity. Did you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal for the right reasons or for other than that? So we have Uthman ibn Abi al-Aas. The first trial he faces after his Islam is a severe sickness in his body. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, ضع يدك على الذي يتألم من جسدك. Put your hands where you experience pain. wherever the pain is, and this is a sunnah that we are supposed to do until this day, put your hands over wherever the pain is on your body and say Bismillah 3 times. And then say 7 times, A'udhu billahi wa qudratihi min sharri ma ajidu wa uhadhir. You say, I seek Allah's protection. I seek protection with Allah and His power from the evil that I'm experiencing and from that which I fear. Meaning you fear that this pain would spread throughout your body and so on. So put your hands on the pain, say Bismillah 3 times, and say A'udhu bi'izzatillahi wa qudratihi min sharri ma ajidu wa uhadhir 7 times. And then Uthman ibn Abi al-'As radiyallahu anhu did so. He said, فَفَعَلْتُ ذَلِكَ, I did so, فَأَذْهَبَ اللَّهُ مَا كَانَ بِي, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed this sickness and illness from me. Allahu Akbar, it's a sickness that almost ended his life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured him through this dua, through this dhikr only. Allahu Akbar. And then he says, فَلَمْ أَزَلْ آمُرُ بِهِ أَهْلِي وَغَيْرَهُمْ. And he says, ever since that day, I continued to instruct my family to do this prophetic remedy, to say this dhikr and this dua when they are experiencing pain. وَغَيْرَهُمْ. And I would instruct and preach to others to do the same thing whenever they got sick. And this is why it's also important, we learn from this part of the hadith, that it's important to propagate the sunnah and to teach these prophetic remedies to the people. But the entire point of this narration was to tell you that Uthman ibn Abi al-'As, when he accepted Islam, when he repented and turned to Allah, Allah tested him in his health immediately. Right? So we need to understand and learn that a person is going to be tested and may be tested after his tawbah and him turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. In this case, Uthman ibn Abi al-'As was tested in his health. Uthman ibn Abi al-'As did not turn and say, Ya Allah, why did you do this? I've accepted Islam, I've turned to you with sincerity and honesty. I love you, I love Islam. And why are you giving me a sickness for? Why? He did not begin to think evil about Islam and bad about Allah. He didn't do this. Right? And this is what you're supposed to learn after your tawbah. That if you're tested after your tawbah, the solution is not to turn back to disbelief and turn back to a life of rebellion and sins. Is that going to solve your problem? Wallahi, it will not solve your problem, and go try it if you don't believe. Uthman ibn Abi al-'As, he did not say, oh, before I became a Muslim, I had strength and I was healthy and I didn't have this sickness. And the day I accepted Islam, I got sickness. What is this Islam? He didn't say this. Rather, he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing that this is where the cure and this is where the truth is. And he said to him, Ya Rasulullah, this is what I'm experiencing. I'm experiencing a severe calamity in my health after Islam. What do I do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him a dua. And he did this dua for a while until Allah cured him. Imagine this. Once he was cured, how strong was his faith in Allah? How strong was his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then this is what we need to learn. Well, the same person, Uthman ibn Abi al-'As, later on in his life, when he started becoming steadfast and upright upon his deen, and he started his prayers and so on, you know, the life of a person who repents and he comes to Islam and turns to Allah, he's now very considerate about his prayers. He's punctual on his prayers. He's on time. He wants to do everything right according to Allah and His Messenger, the Sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Uthman ibn Abi al-'As begins to pray. And what happens? A shaytan comes to him in his prayer. And he begins to whisper to him, causing him a disruption in his salat and in his faith. Uthman ibn Abi al-'As, he takes a journey to Al-Madinah, to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 14 days of travel. And he says, Ya Rasulallah, inna shaytana qad hala bayni wa bayna salati yulabbisuha alay. He says, O Messenger of Allah, the shaytan has stood between me and my prayer. He's in between me and my prayer, and he is distracting me in my salat. Allahu Akbar. Yani he's being tested in his faith after he had accepted Islam and made the repentance. Yes, my brothers and sisters in Islam. After your tawbah, you may be tested in your faith. You may be tested severely. But the solution is not to leave Islam and leave the path of guidance and steadfastness. The solution is to turn to the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to turn to the Quran and see what your remedy is and what the solution is. So Uthman ibn Abi al-As goes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says to him, Ya Rasulullah, I'm being tested in my faith. I'm being tested in my salat. So he didn't say, Oh Allah, how come you're testing me? Don't you want me to pray? Why are you testing me, Oh Allah, in my salat? Why are you making my salat difficult, Ya Allah? He didn't say this. He knows this is a test from Allah and he needs to seek the right solution. So he goes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, ذَاكَ شَيْطَانٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ خِنْزَبْ. This is a special shaytan, he is called Khinzab. He comes to the person when he prays. He comes to the person when he prays. So if he comes to you, O Uthman, then say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, while you're in your salat, whether it's an obligatory prayer or a nafil prayer, and say it silently, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and spiral to your left 3 times. Wherever you are in a salat, standing, ruku', sujood, just do this, to your left 3 times. Naam, and if you have people praying to your left, then you turn towards your left foot, and you spiral 3 times. Uthman ibn Abi al-As, he took this prophetic advice. He got onto his camel. He went back to Al-Ta'if where he was from. That's another 14 days travel. He said, and I implemented this prophetic solution. فَأَذَّبَهُ اللَّهُ عَنِّي. And Allah Azza wa Jal removed this burden and this test away from him, this shaytan away from him when he was praying. So now he regained khushu' in his salat and he was able to focus and concentrate in his prayer. But look at this. He was willing to travel 14 days to Al-Madinah and 14 days back, 28 days, to look after his faith and his salat, to see what is there of a solution that I may protect this. So Uthman ibn Abi al-As was tested intensely, as we can see in these two narrations, both in his health, a sickness that almost caused his death, and he was tested in his faith, in his salat. And when did he was tested? After he had accepted Islam, after he had repented, after he turned to Allah. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, it is most definite that trials and challenges may continue with a person even after he repents. Now, it is not for the believer after he has repented to begin to entertain evil thoughts about Allah, and to say, Oh Allah, if you want me to be a Muslimah, I made a tawbah, I repented, I'm starting to pray. Why are you testing me? Why has my health gone down? Why am I falling into financial troubles? Why am I falling into relationship problems? Why am I being tested in my faith? Why am I having evil thoughts and waswas is coming to me? Why, Ya Allah, why are you giving me this? Don't do this. Don't say this. People better than us, like Uthman ibn Abi al-As, a companion, when he made a tawbah, he was tested in his wealth and in his prayer. He sought the right advice from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He remained patient upon his Islam. He implemented this prophetic solution. And soon after, Allah Azza wa Jal would grant him shifa from the sickness, cure from the sickness, and he would allow him to focus and have khushu' once again in his salat. So you need to understand, my brothers and sisters in Islam, especially when it comes to those who are being tested in their faith after their repentance and their tawbah to Allah. You need to understand, as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, that the Jews once, they came to Uthman and they said to him, إِنَّا لَا نُوَسْوَسُ فِي صَلَاتِنَا. They said to Ibn Mas'ud, We never experience waswasa in our prayer. We don't experience distraction in our prayers, right? They were like kind of making fun, mocking the believers, saying, you people, you know, you complain of waswas and difficulties in your faith and so on. We don't experience this. That's a Jewish man saying this to Ibn Mas'ud. So Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said to him, and listen to this, وَمَا يَفْعَلُ الشَّيْطَانُ بِقَلْبٍ خَرَابٍ. He said to him, what is the shaytan going to do with a ruined, destroyed heart anyway? Yeah, and enter a Jewish man. Your heart is corrupted and it's destroyed. There's not even an ounce of iman in it. So why is the shaytan going to come and distract you in your prayer? I mean, your entire faith is wrong altogether. The shaytan is going to focus on the one who doesn't have faith. The shaytan is going to focus on the one who has faith and has iman and believes in Allah. Because the shaytan's war is with the believers, with the Muslims. He wants to turn them away from their deen. He wants to take them with him to Jahannam, right? This is what he promised. He said to Allah Azza wa Jal, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I'm going to deceive them all. And Allah Azza wa Jal said to him, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except the sincere, righteous believers, the shaytan will not have power against them. But he will come to them. He will try to deceive them. He will try to evil whisper to them so that they can go back to their old habits and their old life. But the believer seeks his strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will aid him against a shaytan and the evil whispers of a shaytan. طيب. The other thing is, second scenario I give you from the Quran. Look at the life of Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam lived in the paradise, him and Hawa. طيب. He committed a sin. He disobeyed Allah azza wa jal and ate from the tree. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ. Adam disobeyed his Lord. Then he repented, right? فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. He repented to Allah Azza wa Jal from the haram and the disobedience that he had done. And Allah accepted his tawbah. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah accepted his tawbah. And then you know what happened afterwards? Allah Azza wa Jal said, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. We instructed Adam, Hawa, and also Iblis that they all descend from the paradise. That's a challenge, that's a trial, that's a calamity that came after At-Tawbah. Once again, the point proven. Challenges and trials and calamities can continue and will come to you after you have repented and turned to Allah Azza wa Jal. Can you think of a greater calamity than this? Adam being in the paradise, enjoying the enjoyments of the paradise, having not to worry about anything at all. Everything is there, access, everything's available. And he disobeyed and he repented. He repented and he turned to Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking Allah's forgiveness and acceptance. And Allah accepted his tawbah. And then he was tested after it. And what greater calamity than being removed from the paradise. But you see, he didn't give up on the path of At-Tawbah and the path to Allah. He did not give up. He did not turn and say, oh Allah, why did you do this to me? Why? I repented. I turned too. How come you took me out of the paradise and you put me on earth? He didn't say this. You need to understand that tests and challenges will come to you after your tawbah. That's when you're supposed to increase and strengthen your iman and continue to go down the path of Islam and iman until you meet Allah Azza wa Jal. All these tests and trials and calamities that come after at-tawbah, they are all a means of forgiveness. They are all a means of purification. And they are a means in how Allah Azza wa Jal will raise your rank and your level in the paradise. Okay, third example.
Look at the situation of the magicians at the time of Fir'aun. Allah mentions this in the Quran. The magicians, they rejected Fir'aun and his magic, and they repented and turned to Allah Azza wa Jal. As-Sahara, they made sujood. The magicians turned to Allah and they made sujood and they repented. Khalas. And the first thing that happened was a severe, intense trial and challenge and calamity that came to them after their tawbah. And that was that Fir'aun said to them, فَلَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ. He said to them, I will certainly cut off your hands and feet on opposite sides, and I am going to crucify you into the trunks of the palm trees. That's a threat that came to them straight after their tawbah. Allahu Akbar. Yani, once again, we need to understand, trials and challenges will continue upon a person even after he has made a tawbah and turned to Allah. He threatened them. They didn't turn and say, oh Allah, we just turned to you. We made the sajda. We repented. Now we've accepted al-Islam. And we've accepted Musa as a prophet of Allah. And now we're going to live a life of obedient Muslims. Why are you now sending Fir'aun and his threat upon us? Why don't you save us and protect us from Fir'aun? We're Muslims. Why don't you help us? They didn't say this. Because they understood that when a person turns to Allah and repents to Allah, challenges are going to come and trials are going to come, so that their iman is tested. Did they do this sincerely for Allah? If you did it sincerely for Allah, then you will be able to be patient with these tests and trials for the sake of Allah, knowing that they are purifying you, they are cleansing you, they are a sign that Allah has accepted you and loves you, and they are increasing and elevating your rank in the paradise. Right? So these are the magicians being tested after their tawbah. And look how strong they were upon their faith. That they would say to Fir'aun, لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا. They said, by the one who created us. They took an oath by Allah. They said, we will never ever prefer you over the clear proofs that have come to us. We're never going to prefer you over al-Islam, over our repentance. We're not going to prefer you. That's it. So do whatever you want. فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضِ إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Your authority only covers, يعني, here in this worldly life. But on the day of judgment, you'll have no authority. You'll have nothing at all. You see, this is the type of steadfastness after repentance. That's the type of steadfastness we're supposed to have after repentance. So they looked at the challenge. They looked at Fir'aun. And they said to him, do whatever you want. We will never ever prefer you. And you think for yourself, the one that has repented, I will never ever prefer the life of sin, the life of transgression, the life of disbelief over the clear proofs, over Islam. لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. خلاص. That's the strong resolution and steadfastness the believer is supposed to have after his tawbah, even though the temptations and the challenges are going to come towards him. Now, the fifth example we can give on this matter as well, that trials will come after repentance, is the story of Ashab al-Ukhdud. Ashab al-Ukhdud, this was an entire nation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke their story in the Quran, in Surah Al-Buruj, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates the entire story in an authentic hadith found in Sahih Muslim. It's the story of the boy and the king. But eventually, the entire town accepted Islam, all of them. And there was a tyrant ruler at the time. Some narrations, يعني, some tafsir mentioned that the entire townspeople were about 20,000 people. All of them accepted Islam. All of them. All of them repented from disbelief. From disbelief. All of them. And they all said, La ilaha illallah. And they were all turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know what happened? Immediately after their tawbah and after them turning to Allah, they were tested a huge test. And that was that the king of the town, he commanded his armies to close off the town and to dig trenches and to light them on fire. And he was going to take every person that accepted Islam, throw him and burn him in the fire. Right? These Muslims, new Muslims now, did they turn and say, Oh Allah, we just accepted Islam. Why are you bringing us this calamity into our life? Why don't you support us and help us? They didn't say this. And you know what happened to them? The fire was lit and they were taken one by one and thrown in the fire and they got burnt. You can imagine the pain and the struggle that they experienced immediately after their tawbah. And that wasn't even a reason for them to abandon Islam. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, those who burnt the believing men and believing women, and then they did not repent from this horrible crime of theirs. فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ. For them it's the punishment of the hellfire. And for them is the punishment of being burnt in the fire. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Allahu Akbar. And as I read this ayah, I remember our brothers and sisters in Islam in Palestine. Those that are being burnt with the fire of the oppressor. They are being burnt with their fire. Allah Azza wa Jal promises such people the punishment of hell and the punishment of the burning flame of the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he said about the believers in that story of Ashabul Ukhdud, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, those who believed and did righteous deeds, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. For them is gardens in the paradise underneath which rivers flow. ذلك الفوز الكبير. Indeed, that is the great success. Allahu Akbar. And I ask, and ponder with me for a second here, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Ashab al-Ukhdud, these believers, they only accepted Islam, right? Yani, they accepted Islam. Then they were threatened that they will be burnt and they will be burnt in the fire. And then they were burnt. And moments later, a few hours later, a day or two later, it was very quick between their Islam and them being killed. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, that is the greatest success. And now my question, what did they do that is successful? What is it? They didn't have time to practice the religion, right? There was no time for them to pray and give zakat. Because prayer and zakat was legislated upon all nations from Adam until this day. How did they worship Allah? Well, what is Allah saying when he said, that is the greatest success? You know what it is? It's the fact that they remained steadfast upon their deen, even though they were threatened and they were burnt in the fire, burnt alive. The greatest success was to remain firm upon your Islam, even though you experience trials and tribulations and tests after your tawbah. That is the greatest success. Allahu Akbar. Even now we need to understand that tests and trials and challenges will come to you after you have turned to Allah in tawbah and praying your 5 daily prayers on time, and living a righteous life, a life that is pleasing to Allah, and wearing your hijab and wearing it properly. Once you've made these decisions and you're walking on a path that is pleasing to Allah, you will get tested. And if you remain steadfast upon your Islam and upon your deen, right? There are methods, there are ways in how to remain steadfast and so on. I've explained in many lectures. But if you remain firm and steadfast, even though you are being tested severely, even though you know that these tests only came after you repented and turned to Allah, you remain steadfast until your death. Allah declares this al-fawzul azim, the greatest success. Allahu Akbar. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us success and to grant us steadfastness upon our deen until the day we meet Him. My brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi, think of this. I'm speaking here to all of us, and specifically to those who are the subject of this talk, have turned to Allah, have repented from a life of sin and corruption and disbelief and whatever it is they used to live in the past, have turned to Allah Azza wa Jal, have taken those steps towards Allah, no matter how small the steps are, but they've made that decision. They've started their prayers, left al-haram, gave up on some of it, all of it, whatever it is, but they've turned to Allah on their prayers. They wear the hijab as best as they can. And I want to talk to you. Do you think now that you are facing tests and challenges in your life after your tawbah? Do you think that running away from Islam and abandoning steadfastness is going to solve your problems? Do you think this? What are the problems and the calamities of life? What are they? Let's count them. Financial problems. Majority of people have financial problems. They're in debt. Marital issues. Issues with children. Issues at work. Health-related problems. Psychological problems. Whatever it is. Our calamities vary. They are many and they are diverse. And each and every single one of us is going through a test and a calamity of some sort. For some people, it's bigger than others. And no matter what it is, in coming days, we'll receive bigger calamities and then calamities will go and come. And that's how life is, right? That's how life is. And these calamities are experienced by both Muslims and disbelievers. It's experienced by righteous and by the sinners. Everyone on earth experiences calamities, right? Everyone on earth. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created the human being in hardship, in toiling labor. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحَا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Allah says, the believer will be going through tests and trials until he meets his Lord. Everyone, all of mankind. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. We will surely test you all with fear and poverty and loss of life and loss of wealth. And the tests vary. I tell you something. This is the story of every person on earth. Everyone goes through calamities. Now, do you think that if you abandon Islam and abandon righteousness, that you're going to be calamity-free? And that your life will be restored back to normality without any calamities? Leaving steadfastness and leaving Islam, abandoning the prayers, abandoning the hijab, what's that going to bring you? Is it going to ease your life? Is it going to make your life easier and calamity free? By Allah, it's not going to. So what's the difference between a Muslim and a disbeliever when they face these calamities, between a person that has repented and turned to Allah and faces calamities, and a person that is still living a rebellious, sinful, corrupt life and facing calamities? You know what the difference is? The difference is, both of them are in calamity. But the Muslim and the believer and the one who has repented and turned to Allah faces these calamities for the sake of Allah, seeking Allah's reward. And these calamities purify him and elevate his rank in the sight of Allah. Whereas the one who abandons Islam and steadfastness, he's going through these calamities, But he's going through them for the sake of this dunya, not for Allah. He's going through the calamities for the sake of this dunya, expecting from this dunya goodness. And what's the dunya going to give you? What's this life going to give you? I tell you what, the day you die and you're buried in this dunya, into this earth, even the earth is going to eat you up. The worms are going to come out and chew and bite on your body and your flesh and your skin and your bones. That's what the dunya does for you. Meanwhile, a believer, his soul ascends to Allah Azza wa Jal, because he went through these struggles for the sake of Allah, and he did not decide to abandon al-Islam and righteousness and steadfastness. So his soul ascends to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. As for the disbeliever, the one who rejected Allah Azza wa Jal, that soul will come out of his body. It'll rise, but then it'll be thrown back down to this earth. Subhanallah. That's the difference between the one who remains committed upon steadfastness, even though he's being challenged and there are trials and tribulations and calamities in his life, but he's going through these calamities for the sake of Allah, seeking Allah's reward, seeking a paradise from Allah. And the disbeliever that hasn't repented, he's going through calamities, but he's doing it for the sake of this dunya. He's not doing it for Allah. He doesn't care. And what's the dunya going to give him, as I said to you? Nothing but eat his body when he's buried in it. Allahu Akbar. So we need to understand the solution to trials and calamities that come after repentance is not to turn back to old ways. That's not the solution. It's not to turn back to this dunya and its temptations. It's not to go back to your old habits and your old evil friends and your old lifestyle. That's not the solution. The solution is to keep in your mind that I need to remain committed and steadfast upon al-Islam, even though I am facing new challenges and trials in my life. Soon after, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you that steadfastness. And if you die, you die having earned the pleasure and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you enter the paradise. I want to share with you an ayah in the Quran, and I really want you to pay attention to this, because I find this ayah, yani, from one of the complex ayahs to understand. And if you really understand it, wallahi, wallahi, your heart will find some enjoyment. You will find a lot of pleasure in this ayah. Wallahi, you will find a lot of iman in this ayah. Listen to me and pay attention. What Allah says about this dunya and those who want this worldly life and those who want to turn to disbelief and kufr and live a life of rebellion and sin. Allah is talking to these people that want to abandon Islam and trials, Islam and steadfastness. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says in Surah Az-Zukhruf, this ayah is going to highlight two things: the worthlessness of this worldly life and the tempting nature of this worldly life, how much of a fitna it is. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَن يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ وَزُخْرُفًا وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, pay attention with me. It's going to be difficult to understand if you're not paying attention. Allah said, had it not been for the fact that people would have been one nation upon disbelief, then Allah would have given this entire worldly life and its glamours and its ornaments and its decorations to everyone who disbelieved. Let me explain it to you now. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, had it not been for the fact that everyone would have disbelieved, Allah would have given every single disbeliever what they wanted from this worldly life. Yani, imagine this. Imagine, and this isn't an imagination, this was going to happen. There was going to be a place here on earth. There was going to be this deal on earth that anyone who wants this dunya, like you kind of would say, oh Allah, I disbelieve. I want to disbelieve in you. The moment you say, oh Allah, I disbelieve, Allah would have given such people, لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُقُفًا مِّن فِضَّةٍ. Allah would have given them houses, and the roof of the house would have been made of silver. If the roof is of silver, then imagine how much more this person would earn and have in this worldly life. وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ. And for every kafir, every disbeliever, Allah Azza wa Jal would have made staircases that will go up to the second and third and fourth level, meaning they'll have huge homes, huge abodes. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرُرًا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ. And we would have made for their homes many, many doors. Meaning, how huge would Allah have given them in this worldly life? A huge home with many doors and many recliners, couches. Yani Allah would have given them luxury and comfort and whatever you like. And on top of all this was zukhrufa, ornaments. Take what you like of this worldly life. Isn't this every person's dream? To own a mansion, to own a castle, in where the roof is of silver, and inside the house of gold and silver and ornaments and treasures and precious stones and rocks and pearls. And Allah, wallahi, this is an ayah in the Quran. Allah is saying, I was going to give this to everyone who announced his disbelief. But Allah didn't do this, because it would have been a fitna to all of mankind. Every single one of us would have left Islam and disbelieved. That's how intense the fitna of this worldly life is. Like my brothers and sisters in Islam, people have left Islam for way less than what Allah offered. People have left Islam for a few thousand dollars. People have left Islam for a pathetic position. People have left Islam for way less than what Allah offered that He would have given to disbelievers had they disbelieved. But it is Allah's mercy that He did not go ahead with this offer and He held it back, because we would have all disbelieved. Allahu Akbar. And once again, this ayah proves the worthlessness of this worldly life. Allah was ready to give it to every disbeliever that was proud and happy to announce his kufr and disbelief. Do you want a life of sin? You want a life of rebellion? You want a life away from Allah? Here, Allah would have given you everything. No problems. Here, Allah Azza wa Jal was ready to give this to any disbeliever. But He didn't, out of mercy for those who believed. Because they would have fallen into a big fitna. Everyone would have disbelieved and left Islam. So, yani, Allah Azza wa Jal at the end of this ayah, He said, وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. All of this is only an entertainment and a small joy of this worldly life. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the enjoyments of the afterlife is way better and much better for the believers that will يعني, be with Allah Azza wa Jal, in the company of Allah Azza wa Jal in the paradise. So, يعني, it's very clear. It's very clear that when you're being tested in your faith and in your health and in your wealth, after you have repented and turned to Allah, that the solution is not turning back to this dunya and what it offers and sins and rebellion. No. The solution is to turn to Allah, to the Quran, to seek and source your guidance from the Quran. And yes, yes, you might fall into sin after your tawbah. You might fall into error after your tawbah. However, don't abandon the path of righteousness and the obligations and give up on yourself and say, you know what? I've made a tawbah, I've turned to Allah, and I started praying my prayers, and a week later, I missed one of the prayers. Khalas, you know what? This is not for me. I can't do this anymore. Why is Allah not helping me? Why isn't Allah not giving me this support for me to pray the five daily prayers? Why? Hey, relax. You know, I tell you something. يعني some people, if they do one sin, after their tawbah, they give up on the mercy and forgiveness of Allah. And so this one sin they do will lead them to another sin and another sin and another sin until they go back to the old life of rebellion and corruption. I'm going to give you an example. Imagine I walked out with a white dress. See, I'm wearing a white dress. I walk out with it. It's brand new. It's clean. It's just come out from the washing machine. And I walk and some mud comes on my white clothing. What do I do? What would someone do? Well, me, naturally, I'd go to a tap and I'd try to wash that white or that black dot of mud. I'll wash it off, right? And you'd be crazy and silly to just say, oh, there's a dot of dirt and mud on my clothing. Let me just smother myself in mud altogether. Yalla, and then I get all the mud from the earth and I paste it and drench it. I drench myself in it. But that would be silly. That would be stupidity. And so the same example I'm giving you, that when you sin after your tawbah, so after you've made a tawbah, you're like a white dress. Your heart is white and polished and clean. You make a tawbah. You make a sin after that. And there's a black dot on the heart. Go and wash it with istighfar and tawbah. Immediately seek Allah's forgiveness and repent. Pray two rak'at. Give a sadaqah. Any good deed you do will take away that bad deed you did. That's it. This is what you do. Not if you did one sin after your tawbah. Khalas, I've given up and let me just go all out and drown in sins. That's not like someone that walked out of the house with a white cloth. Then he saw a speck of dust or dirt on it. And then he said, you know what? I give up on this white cloth of mine. I'm going to go dirtier altogether. No one would do this. So treat your heart and your Islam and your Iman in the same manner. Now, and your next obligatory prayer you pray, that wipes away the sins from the last obligatory prayer until this one that you pray. Every astaghfirullah you say wipes away a sin. Every wudu and every limb you wash, it wipes away the sins of those limbs. You say subhanallah wa bihamdihi 100 times and it wipes away all your sins and wrongdoings even if they were to amount the size of the ocean. You say la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir 100 times in the morning. It wipes away 100 sins. Who's committing 100 sins a day? Yeah, the point is, even if you are, this dhikr will cleanse you from your sins. Naam. So this is what we need to understand. Don't give up. Trials and calamities will come after the tawbah, will come after you have turned to Allah. Your health will be tested. You'll be tested in your health, in your faith, in your prayers, in your hijab. You'll be tested with all these matters. Lakin you need to pursue and you need to remain patient and you really need to understand that this is the only path in life that I remain a Muslim and feel and think that after your tawbah, you have been chosen. Allah selected you. That's enough as an honor for you. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, Alhamdulillahi wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Allah says, all praise belongs to Allah. Wasalam, peace is upon ibadihi, his slaves that he has selected and chosen. Ata rahimahullah, he narrated that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, this ayah is speaking about those who declared the oneness of Allah and believed in him. So yes, it refers to prophets, messengers and so on, but it also refers to you and I. Everyone that has accepted Allah and turned to Allah, he is chosen by Allah. الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَى, Allah chose them. So be happy. Think of this when you're going through your trials and calamities after your tawbah. Think that Allah has chosen you. He has selected you. And what you're going through is purification. Allah purifies you. And he's testing your sincerity and honesty upon Islam. And Iman. When you're going through calamities and tests after repentance, think of your purpose. Think of your purpose. Why were you created? Were you created to live a life free of calamity? Is this what Allah Azza wa Jal created us for? No. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I created mankind and jinnkind so that they may worship me. So when you're going through trials and calamities and tests after your tawbah and after you have turned to Allah, think of your purpose. Your purpose is to worship Allah. Is to worship Allah amidst calamities and troubles that will come through and to your life. Right? So this ayah is the key to guidance and it's the essence of steadfastness. That's how you remain steadfast after trials and calamities that come to you after your tawbah, that you think of your purpose. Subhanallah. Once you learn this ayah, you take steps towards this honest and sincere life with Allah, even though you're being tested and trialed after your tawbah. You remember and you recall Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say and announce that my prayers and my sacrifice and my entire life and my death is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. That's your purpose in life. That every moment of your life, every prayer, every sacrifice, every moment of the day and every moment of the night, even your sleep, even your eating, even your dress, even everything you do, it's all for Allah. So you eat what is pleasing to Allah. You drink what is pleasing to Allah. You dress what is pleasing to Allah. You sleep in a manner that is pleasing to Allah. You wake up at Fajr, which is a time that is a moment in where Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with the servant to get up. You speak words that are pleasing to Allah. You deal with people in a manner pleasing to Allah. Right? And you have manners in a way that is pleasing to Allah. This is the purpose of life. For everything to be done for the sake of Allah, earning His pleasure. And yes, you'll be tested. People much better than us that turned to Allah and repented to Allah were severely tested, which is what I explained at the beginning of this talk, right? Something else you can do during this time. Yani, so we said during this time, when you're being tested after your tawbah, we said that remind yourself that you are chosen by Allah. Alhamdulillah wa salamun ala ibadi alladhina astafa. You're chosen, there's honor, there's a privilege for you in this. Number two, we said, you need to remember at this time why you were created. You were created for the worship of Allah, so that everything you do in life is done for Allah. You're not created in this life to pursue after its pleasures and its luxuries. Yes, if you earn them in a halal means, they come to you in a halal means, no problems. And if they don't distract you from your obligations and so on, no problem, no issue. But your ultimate purpose is to worship Allah. So the solution is never to turn back to an old life of sin and rebellion. Number three, what you do is a dua. When you're being tested and challenged in your faith and in whatever it is in your life after your tawbah, make dua. A dua is ibadah, it's a worship. And every single dua is answered by Allah. Every single dua. The only thing is that it is answered according to His knowledge and wisdom, not according to what you want or what you think is best for you, because you don't even know what is going to happen to you in the next minute. When Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's the one who has decreed all your life, so He knows what's good for you and what works out for you best. So you make a dua and you say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, Allahumma. My Lord, O Allah, keep my heart steadfast upon your deen. O turner of the hearts, keep my heart steadfast upon your deen. And that was a dua Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say abundantly. An abundant dua of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he was asked why he does this dua, he said, because the hearts are between two fingers of Allah Azza wa Jal. He turns them whichever way He wants. That's a solution. That's a solution. When you're going through trials and calamities after your tawbah, that you make dua, asking Allah for firmness. That you remain conscious in your salat when you say Ihdina as-salat al-mustaqim 17 times. You're asking Allah for guidance. Be conscious. And you know what this guidance is that you're asking Allah for? When in your salat you're saying, oh Allah, guide me to the straight path, guide us to the straight path. What is it? It's none other than the Quran. Because in Surah Al-Baqarah, after Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. That is the book in which there is no doubt. It is of great guidance for the believers. In Surah Al-Fatiha, He said, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. The first ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said here, this Quran is a guidance to the straight path. It is a guidance to the believers. So then you understand that during your calamity and your trial, nothing will guide you except by adhering to this Quran. This is the guidance you asked for. Here it is. Why is the Quran a source of guidance in confusing times, in times of tribulation and difficulty that you experience after your tawbah, when whenever you experience that in life? Because the ayat of the Quran, they plant iman in our hearts. They strengthen iman. And this is what keeps you firm, al-iman. And every ayah in the Quran that speaks about Allah and speaks about His mercy and speaks about His justice and speaks about our purpose in life and speaks about the trials and the tribulations of the prophets and the messengers before, all of these ayat, what do? They strengthen iman in our heart. And as a result, we are being guided through the Quran by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Quran, now, so when you are being tested and challenged after your tawbah, and you begin to question al-hijab, and you begin to question society and the corruption that is around us, and you begin to become tempted by this worldly life, right? And by all these isms that are being propagated, and you're thinking, this is what's right. If I leave Islam and go to something like this, maybe my life will get better. Al-Quran will teach you and it'll expose the reality of things. It'll expose the reality of things, right? Every single ayah in the Quran, in one way or another, will address the biggest challenges in life and the biggest challenges to your faith. Every ayah will deal with this. Whatever it is, no matter what the situation is. But we need to read and ponder as we read and reflect as we read the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what I wanted to share with you, my brothers and sisters in Islam. That was a reminder to all of us that if we're struggling, if you're struggling in your faith, if you're struggling in your faith and you're being tested and you're being challenged, after your tawbah, especially after your tawbah, and you have repented to Allah, just relax and understand this is something that Allah has done and Allah continues to do, even to the best of people. It happened to prophets. And the stories in the Quran are many. And I've shared with you almost 5 incidents up at the beginning of this lecture. This is something that will happen. The solution is not to say, oh Allah, why are you testing me even though I have turned to you? That's not the solution. Don't question Allah's wisdom. Don't question Allah's knowledge. Allah knows what He's doing. Your turning to Allah is being tested at this moment. So seek strength and help from Allah, support from Allah, and continue to do the obligations to the best of your ability. Push yourself, fight your nafs, just like you are ready to fight your nafs to do whatever you can do to earn the pleasures of this worldly life. Do this for your faith as well. Huh? How many people is it common when we say, oh, you know, he says, wallah, I've been saving all my life to buy this thing in this dunya. See, we know how to sacrifice for this dunya and go through challenges for this dunya. I've been doing such and such until I get to this. You do the same thing for your iman. Take it seriously. Where's the struggles? People think that they will go to Allah Azza wa Jal without any pain and any trial and any calamity. La wallah. The road to Allah Azza wa Jal is a difficult road. There'll be a lot of hardships and obstacles. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the paradise has been surrounded with makarih, with hardships. Meaning the worships that get you to the paradise are going to be heavy and difficult. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says about as-salat, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. As-salat is heavy. It's a huge burden except for those who have mastered al-khushu'. You need a while to get there. Even if you don't get there, You need to understand there's a struggle. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, فَعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ فَعْبُدْهُ وَاصْطَبِرْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ Worship Allah Azza wa Jalla and remain patient upon His worship. Remain patient upon His worship. Why? Because there's difficulty. You only have to be patient when there is difficulty. You know, a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was considering Islam. He was saying to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he dislikes to enter Islam. He finds a burden and a difficulty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, accept Islam even if you dislike it. The idea is, pray even if you dislike it. Wear the hijab even if you dislike it. Do the obligations even if you dislike them. That's a hadith the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him. يعني, وَإِنْ كُنْتَ كَارِهَا أَسْلِمْ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ كَارِهَا Then he said to him, a beautiful ending to the hadith, he said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَرُزُقُكَ I forgot the... فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَيَرُزُقُكَ الْإِخْلَاصَ وَحُسْنَ النِّيَّةِ Accept Islam, even if you dislike it, because in the end, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant you, He will gift you with sincerity and an honest intention. That's the solution. That you remain steadfast and at the end, you will find the sweetness of your actions. Right? No, most definitely, before you leave this world, the life at the time of death, you'll see the angels that give you the good news. And then that goodness will be experienced on your soul and on your body that when you are in the grave. And then ultimately, you will meet the mercy of Allah and the enjoyments in the paradise that Allah gives. And above the list, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the ultimate of pleasures. Then, when that happens, you would have forgotten every single calamity and trial you went through in this worldly life for Allah's sake. It'll be worth it then. But don't rush. Relax. Patient until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us steadfastness and goodness. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to be with our brothers and sisters in Palestine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid them, to support them, and to give them victory up against the enemy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to nourish them when there is no food available. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to quench their thirst if they are cut off from water. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to cover them even if they are cut off from clothing and from the entire world. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to be with them in every moment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of them, to bestow His mercy upon them. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He make these missiles that come down upon them, bardan wa salama, coolness and peace. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept their martyrs and to heal and to aid their injured and to be with those that are orphaned. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us and to grant us the strength to support them with our dua, with our wealth, with our prayers, with our Islam. Yes, because every single one of us, all of us, when we are strong upon our iman and upon our prayers, this will have an effect on their victory. Yes, we'll give this perhaps yani, in another lecture, bi-idhnillah, but I've spoken about this before. Our Islam and our iman and our commitment upon the laws of Allah, the obligations, has a direct impact on what happens to our brothers and sisters that are oppressed across the globe. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He grant us strength in our iman and in our Islam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bestow His mercy upon us and to forgive us all and to accept from us. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.